Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here do not necessarily reflect that of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and our first guest this evening is Bob Griswold with Ready Made Resources, and he supports Radio Liberty. We're going to talk a little bit about preparation for the possible difficult times that lie ahead. We've certainly got an awful lot of calls from people who were down in the Gulf there when Katrina and Rita hit that area. And I think that we suddenly realize that acts of God can come and come very, very quickly and devastate people who had no idea anything like that could happen. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the middle of a war. I may feel many times that this war on terrorism is being engineered, that everything is being done to inflame the anger and hatred of the Muslims throughout the world by the actions of our government, but nonetheless, people do react and retaliate, especially when their cities have been destroyed and their children and their families have been destroyed as well. And the hatred that is being engendered between Christian and Muslim, I believe it is being engendered intentionally. But that's how you get a major war going. I do believe that it was only a matter of time before we are at war with Iran and with Syria, and we have contact with people we know are in contact with the people who are running this country, and they tell us quite openly, we are going to war with Iran, which I think, of course, is opening the door to World War III. So what thing we want to stress is that you need to be prepared, whether it be for the bird flu, and I don't know if this is real or this is contrived, or maybe perhaps this is planned as a vehicle of culling the population, because there really are people who want to do that. Be that as it may, you need to make preparations to look after yourself. And the people, of course, who are prepared, in whether it be in Mississippi or whether it would be in New Orleans, they survived and did quite well. But so many people were not prepared, with devastating results. Bob Griswold, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Doctor, for having me. I enjoy being here.
Well, what are your takes? Of course, you are in the preparedness field, and are you getting more response from people across America? Are at least some people beginning to make preparations?
Well, yeah, they are. In fact, the people who make dehydrated and freeze-dried foods in the country, I've been talking to them. I stay pretty close in touch with them, and they are being swamped right now. In fact, they keep telling me that if we have a few more of these large disasters that we've had, in which we're having really a smaller disaster, but it's in the Northeast right now with all this flooding that's going on, that really they could possibly see the rationing of food in this country as far as long-term food storage, because it won't be enough to go around.
And you were certainly talking off the air that in the past there was always tremendous abundance of food here in America, massive food stocks, but those food stocks really don't exist much longer today, do they?
No, in fact, there's an article in a magazine called Farmers Advance, which somebody can go to farmersadvance.com and go into the archives, and you can look up the article. It was in the September 22nd edition.
Now, that's Farmers Advance?
Farmers Advance, all one word, farmersadvance.com. And you can go look up it again. It's the September 22nd edition where they talk on this. In fact, the whole magazine has some pretty drastic things to say, and it's not a radical magazine. It's a farming magazine.
Well, you don't offer that copies of that to you if anybody.
If somebody wanted it faxed, I could fax it to them. Yes, I do have the article.
All right, fine. Well, maybe if somebody's interested in getting it, they can get in touch with you, and you'll fax it to them. In fact, maybe you'll fax me a copy as well. But you know, I think we would be foolish not to make preparation for emergencies. In fact, here in California, the Maria Shriver, the governor's wife, is telling people, make preparations. She's on television regularly, make preparations. What does she know that the rest of us don't know? Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Griswold. You were saying that this article in the Farmers Magazine talks about the relative shortage of food in comparison with what we've had in the past. Well, why is that?
Well, the reason is that we bring most of the food in. Agriculture in this country has been destroyed. You know, we don't produce as much as we used to because everything's produced overseas. And again, you have a worldwide demand growing for food. China is demand is growing food. Their demand for food is growing exponentially. But the article goes on to say that even as little as 5 years ago, they used to rate the amount of food in the food chain per person in the United States. That means how much food is available for each person in the United States and how much of that's in the food chain as 7 days. Where they switched it, they were playing with the numbers, they switched it over to 84 pounds. And this was like 5 years ago, 84 pounds of food in the food chain per person was in the food line. Now it's down to 15.4 pounds, with 11 pounds of that being unprocessed wheat. So, Doctor, you can see that if you have many more of these disasters, really you're going to have a real food problem. And again, this might sound like a broken record to people, but I tell them, again, as a Bible-believing Christian, that these things are going to come, we're going to see the signs of them coming, and then one day there's something very drastic is going to happen where, you'll be calling and it will not be available. You can call me all you want, you can call anybody all you want. It's like solar panels right now. People were warned that the demand for solar panels was going to go up, and today, if you call not only me, but go on Google and type in solar panels and call the first people that come up and tell me you want to get solar panels, they're going to tell you there's an 8 to 10, 12 week wait. And that's going to get worse now that these, we've seen the what's happened to the price of, fuel oil and gasoline. The demand for solar panels is growing. I can say that part of my business has grown exponentially over the last, 6 months. People are going and they're trying to find alternate ways to provide power to their home. Well, the same thing's going to happen with food one day, Doctor, is the fact that as more and more people on the planet become, wealthier, as wealth goes into the Middle East and into the Orient, the cost of food is going to go up and the availability of food is going to go down. So, and that makes it be more of a rarer commodity. And you add a few natural and worldwide disasters to this, and people will not be getting their food. And I want to say something. This is not meant to scare anybody. It should alarm people, but we're not out here to scare people into buying things that they don't need. I think everybody should sit down rationally.
Hold that thought there for just a moment, Bob, as we bring our other stations back on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Bob Griswold, Ready Made Resources, and he's commenting that there seem to be more and more people since Katrina and Rita who are really actually going out and getting food. Interesting thing is that in the past, why solar panels were readily available. You could get them anytime you wanted to. Now there is a 10-week to 12-week a wait to get solar panels. Bob was saying that we've always had something like 85 pounds of food in the stored away for every citizen of the United States. In other words, we had abundant supplies of wheat and corn and all of the basic staples. And today there are about 15 pounds of food, at least according to this article in Food Advance magazine he was referring to, that they don't have great supplies of food right now. And of course, as you know, we're probably shipping food over to Pakistan, and we've shipped massive amounts of food down into the area along the Gulf. So we don't have the large supplies of food that we have in the past. Those of you who read the Bible regularly will remember in the Revelation, in Revelation 6:8, we're told about the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And of course, when the fourth horseman is released, and that's the rider of the gray horse, power was given unto them to kill a quarter of the world by the sword, by hunger, by death, or some people interpret it as pestilence and disease, and then the beasts of the world. Well, I really believe that we may well soon see, or we may already be witnessing the release of those four horsemen of the apocalypse, and I do believe that we face difficult, very difficult times in this country, because this country has turned against God. Well, Bob, why don't you get your telephone number out if people would like to get in touch with you? And Bob has said that he would make copies of the article from Food Advance magazine. He can just fax them to you if you'd like it. Talking about the very real shortage of food that exists in the United States today. We're not talking about it, but apparently there are some people in the agricultural industry are worried about that. Do you want to get your telephone number out?
Yes. You know, they want to call me after the program. I'll be glad to talk with them or give them the article. They can call me at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. They can also visit my website at Ready-Made Resources. That's all one word, readymaderesources.com. And again, I will probably post this article up on my website so people can read it. Again, if they want to go and look at it for themselves, it is farmersadvance.com. You can go there and just look up the article in the September 22nd edition. And this organization that's saying this is saying that's what the government has in the food line, in the food chain for you, only 15.4 pounds of food, with 11 of that being unprocessed wheat. In fact, Doctor, if you go back further...
Now, is that government supplies or is that the overall food supply?
Well, that's what the government has in reserve.
Oh, these are in government reserves.
Yeah, and that's what the government has in reserve is the 15.4 pounds of food. But it's taken a dramatic downturn from even further back than that, where it used to be quite a bit more, a month's worth of food in the food chain. Then it went to 7 days, and that's 84 pounds.
I can remember when they had a year's supply of food for everybody, massive supplies of wheat, in silos. And, of course, we were actually giving the food giving that food away to other countries just because we didn't know how to store it all. But apparently that is no longer the case here.
It's not, Doctor. And if you take this bird flu that they're talking about, which it seems like there's some validity to it. In fact, there's probably some form of this that caused the 1918 flu epidemic that killed, up to 80 million people. They're saying anywhere between 20 and 80 million people. If we had a mortality rate in this country where you lost 5% of the population, the United States as a modern economic power would cease to exist. We don't realize that's how dependent we are upon the services of this country. You take 5% of truckers, 5% of, the farmers, 5% of people who trade in commodities, all of that, and you take them out of the equation and you really create a strain on the infrastructure in the United States. And they're talking that this disease has a 60% fatality rate. Now, whoever made it, whatever reason it's there, even if the government wasn't involved with it, or they were involved with it, or if it was a created or uncreated biological weapon, whatever, if it does become a pandemic, we're going to see a lot of people die, and that's unfortunate. But there are things that people can do now to help. And again, Doctor, I believe in civil defense, meaning each of us preparing. I don't believe the government has any ability to take care of anybody in an emergency. We've looked at that and seen how good a job they did down in these two hurricanes. If they did a lousy job, we need to be doing it for families and communities now.
Well,
and things that we can do to prepare. There's things we can do to prepare for this bird flu. Possibly storing food, having the big Berkey water filter that you sell. That is absolutely critical. Having ability to sterilize things. Bleach. Having bleach on hand where you can disinfect and sterilize. Having protective masks on hand. Those are things that we can do now. We have to learn, again, the laws of hygiene. Remember as parents, when we were growing up, you don't hear it anymore, but get your hands out of your mouth. Well, there was a reason for that, because that's how, you transmit disease, washing your hands well.
One of the things that's very interesting, we did an interview with Lieutenant Colonel Tom McKinney, who's a friend of ours, who had a home right on the beachfront there in the Mississippi coast, and of course everything was destroyed, but he had a wonderful talk with him the other day about what was going on, and one of the things he stressed was the importance of Clorox. That everything, you really wanted to have it sterilized, and the way you sterilize it was with Clorox. And this was the one thing that was in short supply. And when you mentioned the importance of bleach, of course, you need this to put into your water.
Sterilizes water off.
And then, of course, you want to be able to filter it out with some sort of a Berkey filter, something that will take the chlorine out. But it will help to kill off any viruses and things of that sort. But if there were a major cataclysmic event, and you could not leave your home, then you'd have to be prepared to survive in your home. And this is what some people actually did down in New Orleans. If the water didn't get too high, they just stayed in their homes. They had the food, they had the water, and they survived quite well because they were prepared for it. After all, New Orleans had actually been flooded in the past, and there were some people who knew it was going to happen again, and they were prepared, and they did fine, and the people who weren't prepared, of course, some of them perished, actually. So I think it's important that people realize we live in an uncertain world. And we also have to realize that God brings judgment upon nations that turn away from him. So one of the things we can do, of course, we should always pray for God's blessing and God's protection, because in the final analysis, that's really what's going to sustain us. But Bob's website, Bob Griswold's website, has a lot of things having to do with preparation. Preparation for all sorts of emergencies, but the standard preparations, you know, for everything, and then, of course, for specific types of catastrophes. So it behooves each and every one of us to actually begin making preparations. And I commented earlier, the governor's wife, Maria Shriver, has been on television on a regular basis with a little one-minute blurb say, be prepared, be prepared. And we've probably seen this 20 different times. And actually, I congratulate her, and I congratulate Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I will have to admit that on some things he's doing a much better job than anybody else has. Arnold Schwarzenegger is very close to the centers of power of the people who rule the world. And we have pictures of him and Warren Buffett and Lord Rothschild standing all together, sort of laughing. I think they're probably laughing at how stupid we are out here, not to understand there are people who rule the world. But I think Schwarzenegger knows what the future holds, and when his wife is on television night after night saying, prepare, go to our special website, get the list of the things that you will need in case of an emergency, I think anybody would be foolish not to heed her advice. But the other thing is, you can go to Bob Griswold's website, and you do have a lot of information up there, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Doctor. In fact, they can download quite a bit. There's a section called Important Information Links, and you can get some information there. But, you know, again, we have our president on TV talking about the fact that when this bird flu does break out, which I believe they know it is, and that it will happen, that they're going to use the military and impose martial law and quarantine people. Well, again, if you want to become a refugee, thrown in some camp somewhere with people you don't even know, we saw how well that worked in the Superdome down in New Orleans, then again, don't be prepared. And when you have to leave your home, because you have to go out and get food or water, and you become contagious and the government wants to quarantine you. Now, Doctor, this sounds like the ravings of mad, paranoid people, but, I mean, our president's on TV saying this.
Well, I would suggest anybody who really wants to have an idea what the elite are thinking. There's an article in the Foreign Affairs magazine for July and August of this year. July, August, Foreign Affairs magazine. Remember, Foreign Affairs is the official publication of the Council on Foreign Relations, which is the invisible government of the United States. The Secretary of State always comes from there. The Director of the CIA always comes from there. The Chairman of the Federal Reserve Board always comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. And there's an article there by Dr. Osterholm. In fact, there are three articles
on
the coming bird flu. And what Dr. Osterholm says, he says it's not a matter of if, but when it strikes you. He's talking about the avian flu. And then he's talking about how complete disruption of our economy and of the food chain. And it's well worthwhile reading the article, understanding that this is being presented to you by our invisible rulers. And at least they're warning themselves and members of their little clique what they should be doing to prepare for what lies ahead. And, of course, maybe it's just a scam to sell Tamiflu, because, of course, Tamiflu is produced by Roche, but it was manufactured under contract from something called Gilead, and on the former head chairman on the board of directors of Gilead was a man named Donald Rumsfeld. He stands, I'm sure, to make a great deal of money if this goes through. In other words, if the government spends several $1 billion buying the Tamiflu. But it doesn't matter whether, of course, it's real or whether it's going to be contrived. It's quite possible that they intend to use something like this to cull the population. Because there really are people who have a different worldview than you and I. And you only need to read the writings that we have in our book, The Hidden Agenda, or our new talk entitled Planned Population Reduction. What these people say, and we quote Jacques Cousteau and And we quote George Bernard Shaw and Bertrand Russell and so many of the others, Barbara Marx Hubbard. They really do intend to cull the population. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this evening is Bob Griswold. And Bob, certainly as you, of course, talk to people across the country, do you think there's a growing awareness that the America that we knew, the placid America, that where people were secure in their homes, that we may be moving away from that situation, and we're increasingly entering a period of chaos and crisis?
Well, I think anybody who grew up in my generation, at least, I was born in the 50s, and anybody earlier than that realizes that America has made a fundamental change. It's not going to change. It has fundamentally changed. The whole demographics of the United States have changed. We were once a Christian nation, and now we're a multicultural nation, and any kind of anybody's religion is just as good as somebody else's. You know, our money used to have value to it. Now it doesn't have any value. Our name used to be respected around the world, and now it's a byword in some places. Again, we used to have a nation that produced food for the world. Now, we can't even sometimes produce the food for ourselves. In fact, I don't think we could produce the food for ourselves because most of the fruits and stuff are imported. So, we're at that stage right now where America has fundamentally changed. We would never have thought about doing a preemptive war. Now we're talking about going into these different nations, striking, you know, a preemptive strike if we suspect that they're doing something wrong. Talking about martial law. Talking about taking people's firearms away from them. I mean, you know, all this, Doctor, you add it all up, and it can only spell one thing. America, saving the grace of God, which I don't say that it's impossible, but saving the grace of God and true revival in this country where people repent of their sin and turn back to Him, and not just in voice only, but in heart. We are really doomed as a nation. So if that's the case, what does each family have to look at to do? And all I can tell, all I can see throughout history is look at Joseph. Joseph knew that difficult times were coming. They're talking about the biblical Joseph. And he stored food for his people and the people of Egypt when the famine came. Noah was warned ahead of time of things coming, and he prepared so that his family would be saved. I think those are roles of what we should be doing. And if we don't do that, when the disaster comes, I mean, just look at how everybody was clamoring for food in Louisiana. They were going crazy, breaking in everywhere, stealing food, stealing, trying to get water. Why? Because they were not wise.
Yes, they'd rather, not prepared, right?
Yeah, they'd rather spend their money on something else than to spend it on the things that you absolutely need every day of your life, food and water.
Amen to that. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Bob, don't hesitate to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Bob will be with us for a few minutes more. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But we live in increasingly uncertain times, and people are going to have to recognize that fact. The America that we were raised in really no longer exists. We have established it's perfectly all right to attack another nation and certainly devastate their country and, of course, destroy their infrastructure, their societies. We did in Iraq, where we simply disbanded the army. We disbanded the police force. We disbanded the civil service. We created a chaotic state, and they said, oh, look, there's chaos. Well, we can't go home. And, of course, people became increasingly unhappy. We took over control of their oil, and the people said they're stealing our oil. Should we be surprised that there is resistance to our regime that we're installing over there? And the people who are in the government that don't represent the Iraqi people, in fact, they didn't even publish a list of the candidates who ran for office till 2 days before the election. It was all slam dunk, arranged ahead of time. We call that democracy. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Bob Griswold. And Bob, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and get your telephone number out just one more time, because certainly, and your website, so people would know how to get information. And you do have a great deal of information up there. You have the list of what people should be thinking about having on hand in case of an emergency. And all we can say is hope and pray it doesn't come, but you're going to feel a lot better if you are prepared. If you are not prepared, there would be total panic. If you are prepared, why, people around you are going to be panicking, but at least you'll be prepared to some extent to look after yourself and your family. So again, what's the number for people to call?
Well, they can call us at 800-627-3809. Again, that's 800-627-3809. Or the website, readymaderesources.com. That's all one word. And again, they go to the section that says storage food. They can look at the storage foods we have. If not there, they can go down to the supermarket and store up food, you know, things people need. The fruits, vegetables, all that stuff is storable. It stores for a couple years in those cans, and I'm just recommending the common sense thing to do is to have food and water in your home with the ability to procure water. All that water down in Louisiana was drinkable if you had the right filtration equipment. Even the foulest of it is drinkable if you have the right filtration equipment. So there's really not a lot of excuse for people. Today we're out as a consumer society. We want our big home. We want our big new cars. We want our jet skis. All the toys that we want, we get them. We go out and buy new TV sets, plasma TV sets. And I guess there's really nothing wrong with that. But we totally ignore the things that we have to have every day. The average American has about 3 to 5 days worth of food in the home. And if there were an event that lasted longer than that, then really you'd be in deep trouble. You know, I'm not a member of the Mormon Church, but they do have a good philosophy. They teach their people they should have a year worth of food and eat for each person in their home. Some people can't go a whole year, do the whole year thing, but everybody should have a food reserve. Everybody should have the ability to filtrate water. If you live in areas that are susceptible to possibly, you know, where you have a lot of people around in closer groups, you want to be able to disinfect. You know, hand sanitizers, bleach. Bleach, again, when you mentioned it, not only sterilizes water, it takes 8 drops per gallon, and you can sterilize the water, and then after that you run it through the Berkey filter to get the bleach taste out, but you can also sterilize objects with it because of the disease. Most flu diseases transmit from hand to mouth. You know, you shake somebody's hand, you put it in your mouth, you touch your eyes, you become infected. Well, you can break those vectors of those diseases by cleaning your hands and keeping things clean, disinfected with an agent that kills, you know, flu viruses. That's why I'm telling people, I'm recommending it. You know, make sure you have bleach on hand. Now, a good way to buy bleach is you can go down to a pool store and you can buy powdered bleach. That way you can make your own concentration when you need it, and it lasts longer in the powder form than it does in the jugs. Now, if you get to treat water with bleach, make sure you get regular straight bleach. Don't buy scented bleach. Don't buy bleach plus this or that. Just buy regular bleach. So, and that's something people should have on hand.
And I think, of course, people should have medical supplies on hand, and people should have a good supply of the various vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, because if you were to be a release of this avian flu, and as you know, the government is actually paying to develop this virus to make it much more lethal, and they're not doing it in Category 4 laboratories. Why would they do something that stupid? I mean, we know that anthrax got out, militarized anthrax somehow got out of one of our laboratories and killed a half a dozen people here in the United States. And they just can't figure out how that happened. The SARS epidemic began with a professor in China who was working in a laboratory where they were working on genetic engineering. And, of course, we saw the devastation of the SARS epidemic. Could the same thing happen with the avian flu? They're working on it in our laboratories. Are there anybody evil enough to actually unleash something that horrible to kill a quarter of the world's population? Well, read Revelation 6:8 and ask yourself, could we be reading prophecy there of what really lies ahead for the world? Under any circumstances, one of the things you can do to protect yourself, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, selenium, zinc, certainly oil of oregano, olive leaf extract, and garlic. Time-honored methods of helping you to increase your immune resistance. Well, Bob, we're just about out of time. What are your parting thoughts for our listeners tonight?
Well, again, my parting thought is always, as a Christian person, to make sure that in these perilous times we live, to make sure your heart is right with the Almighty, and then to pray and ask Him what you should do as far as preparing for yourself, your family, and your community.
And I think that we're called upon, certainly, to look to the Lord, but we're also called upon to be certainly faithful servants, and we should prepare for ourselves as if it's up to us, and pray as if it's up to God. But remember, of course, if you do nothing at all, and you simply look to God to help you, why? Well, we have to wonder, you know, what will His response be? We're put here on earth to be involved. And, of course, our families are entrusted to us. So think about getting to Bob's website. Think what we've said tonight. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes with the second half hour here of Radio Liberty. Good night, Bob, and thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and the second half hour we're going to have with us Melody, a Cedar Storm, and Melody is going to be with us a couple of times a month for half an hour, just talking about what's really going on in the financial markets. You know, we are living in increasingly, more difficult times. Certainly, the wealth of the world is being transferred from the United States to China and to India. Now, this is not happening by accident. There is a master plan by the people who run the world. The people there really is a group that do run the world from behind the scenes. They work through the Council on Foreign Relations. They even certainly brag about it at their meetings. And we have quotations from the talk given by James Wolfensohn at the Council on Foreign Relations on David Rockefeller's 90th birthday, where he talks about, you know, where would the world be if there weren't people like you here at the Council on Foreign Relations to influence what happens in the world. And they really do influence what happens in the world. And, of course, this has a profound impact on what is going on. And there is a master plan, and that master plan is laid out in the Earth Charter. You can read it. And they talk about redistribution of wealth within nations and between nations. And we are in the process of redistributing wealth from the United States to nations throughout the world. That's what CAFTA and NAFTA and the World Trade Organization, that's what globalism is really all about, is transfer of American wealth to other nations. So if you're looking and seeing what's happening here in America, why, I don't think there's anything more striking than really what has happened to Delphi. Now, Delphi is a corporation that has been spun off from General Motors. There, the employees were making about $68 an hour, and that was with all the benefits. They were probably making about $38 an hour, straight salary, but of course, along with their benefits, it got up to about $68 an hour. People there who run the company have told the employees they will pay them a third of what they're getting. So instead of getting $28 an hour, they're going to be getting $10 to $12 an hour. And if they do not want to take a cut in pay of two-thirds, why Delphi is just going to pick up and move to China, and when the union would not go along with their demands, why Delphi went into bankruptcy just his last couple of days. And the head of Delphi said the same thing's going to happen to Ford and General Motors, and of course he'd worked for General Motors before. I think that these people know exactly what's going to happen. They're asking their employees to take a two-thirds cut in salary, and when they didn't do it, they went into bankruptcy, and of course they stand to lose everything. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Melody Cedarstrom, and Melody is going to be with us from time to time as we begin talking about what's happening in our nation economically. And I believe we've turned the corner. I believe now we're going to begin a steady financial descent. I think that the major automotive industry, the big three, are going to be in real trouble. I think probably Toyota and the foreign companies operating in the United States will survive. But there's a great concern, and even the head of Delphi has said that Ford and General Motors could be in bankruptcy very soon. We're seeing something very unusual in the United States. We're seeing, for the first time in many years, the price of gold rising, the price of silver rising, going up as the dollar is not necessarily weakening. This is the unusual thing. Usually, when the dollar falls, the price of gold and silver goes up. When the dollar goes up, the price of gold and silver go down. And it's just, well, this is an unusual time, isn't it, Melody?
It certainly is. It's an unusual time, and it's an exciting time.
Could you speak up? You're just a little, are you on a regular hardline telephone?
Yeah, I have you going through my board here at the studio. So.
All right, fine, you're fine. Much better there. Go ahead.
Okay. But it is. It's a very unusual time. It's in a very exciting time if you own gold and silver. I know with the things that we see happening to this country and And a lot of the employees in this world, what's happening to them is certainly not exciting. But if you do own gold and silver in your portfolio, we do have a tendency to get excited when gold goes up. And you're absolutely right. We saw gold correct a little bit today as the dollar did strengthen. But the physical demand is overcoming the limitation that is typically seen by a rising dollar. And both you and I know that the rising dollar that we saw today is pretty much just an illusion. We know how the funds are manipulated, and there was certainly no news to strengthen a dollar when we look at what's happening with our economy.
Well,
I want to say,
go ahead.
I want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And I just have introduced you as Melody Cedarstorm, and of course Melody will be with us on a regular basis now, and she certainly is going to be helping us as we reach out across America to try to warn people that our country is in real trouble economically. For the first time in our nation's history, we are totally dependent upon borrowing money to keep our house of cards together. And, of course, the House of Cards cannot survive for long. A recent article, a conversation between Alan Greenspan and one of the leading financiers in France. And Alan Greenspan says, we've lost control of spending in America. We've lost control of the budget process. And that's absolutely right. If you're going to have a fiat money system, you have to have an element of responsibility. And, of course, they're putting out, they pledged something like $8 trillion for the Medicare drug benefits. So we're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to the people down along the Gulf Coast there. You know, we're talking about massive budgets. We're involved in a massive war halfway around the world. And we were to have a $330 billion deficit this year. Now, that's domestic deficit. But with all the other things and the other spending coming down the line, that's going to be well up over $500 billion deficit this year. And remember, it took our nation 200 years to develop a $1 trillion deficit from 1789 until 1980. And George Bush has run a $500 billion deficit for the last 2 years, and it looks like he's going to accomplish it again this year. Can we continue spending the way we're doing indefinitely, Melody?
No, not at all. We can't. I mean, it eventually catches up. And I always make the comparison with my clients as just a normal household. I mean, a household could not continue to purchase things and spend money when there's no income coming in. But you know what? The most dangerous thing that I see, Dr. Stan, is who we are indebted to. Who is buying our debt to keep us afloat?
Well, who is buying our debt to keep us afloat?
China and Japan. And one of these days, you know, they're going to have a bad day, a grumpy day, and they're going to wake up and say, hey, you know, I don't have faith in that U.S. dollar anymore. I'm going to put my money someplace else. And they will no longer continue to buy our debt, and therefore, you know, it's just another piece of the puzzle, or so to speak, as to just one of the problems that this country faces.
And I think that most people say it could never happen here. And yet, of course, this has happened so many times before. It happened in ancient Greece. It happened in ancient Rome. It's happened hundreds of times down through the centuries when you have irresponsible governments who go onto a fiat money system, and then the spending gets out of control and the whole house of cards come down. We saw this in Argentina a couple of years ago, and they lost two-thirds of the value of their currency. Recently, Turkey revalued their currency. They simply took about five zeros off, and a $1 million note became a $1 note. They destroyed the value of their currency in Turkey. And certainly the same thing happened in Russia in the 1990s, where we supervised this very carefully. It is happening in Rhodesia today with over 400% inflation and the total destruction of the value of the currency. And everybody that had anything tied to currency has simply been bankrupted and impoverished. Well, you know, certainly, Melody, as you see what's going on, Is there are people becoming more concerned, because you are talking to people across America, are they concerned about the fact that our living standards are going down, that the rising price of gasoline, of heating oil and natural gas are going to begin to take so much money out of the pockets of people, they're not going to be able to simply be spending and spending and spending for all sorts of things they don't need, and this whole economic cycle is coming to a halt?
You know, I hate to say it. I'm beginning to receive more phone calls with questions. You know, what's going on? And, you know, I heard about this, I heard about that. But you know what, Dr. Stan? The majority of the people in America don't get it. They don't understand. They don't get it. I mean, I'm amazed when I'm with someone and I'm getting gasoline, and I'm going to use my family as an example, and gasoline is $2.79, and they're saying, oh, look how cheap it is, because we just saw it go up to $3.15. Now it's down at $2.79. I say, listen to yourself. Well, that's the American people out there. They all think the same thing because they've entrusted, they have their faith. And just like the consumer confidence is such an important number, because this economy is based two-thirds on consumers. Our economy is the people here in this country buying, and they don't have that buying power anymore. And so they have this faith. They have faith in something that's not real. They have faith in their politicians. And look where our politicians have gotten us. And so, I don't believe the majority of the people out there understand yet. They have to be it has to affect them directly.
Well, it is going to affect them directly. In fact, the elite, the people who pull the strings behind the scenes, know what's going to happen. In fact, the end of this month, the bankruptcy law changes forever. And it'll be extremely expensive to get out, to go bankrupt, and then you won't be able to get rid of all of your debt. You see, we've been living on debt for such a long period of time, and they've encouraged excessive spending, and we've been the engine of the entire world. We, of course, are the source of money for China so they can build up their economy. We've been the source of developing the economies all throughout the world, and everybody's been exporting to us, and we've been buying things, you know, at a fraction of what their real value was, and we've been living very, very high on the hog. But all that has begun to change, and it is being done intentionally. They know that many people are not going to be able to meet their financial obligations, and ordinarily, as if it was in the past, you simply went bankrupt and didn't have to pay it. Now, they know you're not going to be able to go bankrupt, they're not going to let you go bankrupt, and you are going to be indebted for the rest of your life and never be able to get out of debt. The elite who are running things, in my opinion, know exactly what's going to happen. That's why they have changed the bankruptcy laws. It changes the end of this month. And I think this certainly is a forerunner of dramatic changes in the entire economy as our factories begin shutting down, as they begin lowering the wages and the living standards of the American people. And this is really, I believe, all part of a master plan. They want to raise the price of oil and energy and electricity to force us to lower our living standards, because they really believe in equality. We should have the same high standards that they have in Mexico or Bolivia or in China. And they would love to get us out of our cars. They would love to have us turn off our electricity. The cry is conservation, conservation. And they're conditioning our minds to go along with their plan. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Melody, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Melody, what can people do today to actually begin to protect themselves for the difficult economic times that lie ahead?
There's only one thing they can do, and it's been proven time and time again through different countries when they have economic downturns. You know, we saw Germany. Germany is always held up as a prime example, you know, in the early 20s when they went through hyperinflation. Gold, precious metals, is one way that you can protect yourself and your financial assets. It will protect your purchasing power. You can purchase gold and silver assets as an insurance policy. And I think everyone has heard the example, the old $20 gold pieces from, you know, the early 1900s will buy the same thing today as it did over 100 years ago. I mean, that's incredible when you can take your dollar bill and it won't buy you the same thing today as it did a week ago. And that is what is happening to our currency, and that is why you absolutely have to take control of your finances and get some gold and silver in your portfolio. But what also is important is to make sure that you get the right gold that is put to place in your portfolio. There's a lot of misrepresentation out there on different products, and coins are primed to do one thing, and they really don't. And you have to be very careful. And I get frustrated every day. I get phone calls of someone telling me I bought this and I regret it, and they really took me on this, and I bought the wrong product. How can I fix my portfolio?
All right, we've got Dave calling from Detroit. Hi, Dave. How are you doing?
Hello, Stan. Hello, Melody.
Hello.
Melody, just a quick comment related to my question. A friend of mine knows someone whose son works in Orange County, and they had a meeting with the other real estate professionals in the office, and they said the atmosphere was grim.
You mean the bubble, the real estate bubble is beginning to burst?
I think so. I'm going to just ask my question. Just basically, Melody, what do you think is happening? And I'm going to disconnect. Thanks again.
Okay, fine. Thanks, Dave, for calling. That was Dave from Detroit. I think he's asking, I assume what he's asking is, what do you think is happening to the real estate market? Has it begun to turn?
I think it has, but I will never take the, I'll give the elitists their credit, and it amazes me every day how sometimes they can pull things out of their hat and extend something just a little bit longer. But I do believe the real estate bubble is beginning to have an impact on different communities around the country. Today we saw the interest rates pop over 6%. You have the majority of people out there on adjustable rate mortgages or interest rate only. If you try looking for a home, I mean, most of the homes out there are all valued at $300,000, $400,000, $500,000. McHouses or McMansions is a common term for these homes that are being built. And they've just gone totally crazy. And I do believe it's turning. I think you'll see, unless something happens, and I believe there, almost anything, you have to have some sort of a catalyst to start something. Just like I believe the hurricanes were a catalyst in a lot of the problems that we'll be seeing in the very near future. And perhaps without the hurricanes, the elitists would have been able to prolong a lot of the things that are happening. But yes, I do believe the markets are, the housing market is coming to an end. I believe you'll see homes coming down. We saw New York report, I believe it was this week, where their values are beginning to come down. I think they've corrected, off the top of my head, maybe 12%. And so I think you'll see that major communities around this country. So
I really think that as I started the program, I was talking about Delphi. Delphi is the largest manufacturer of the things that go into our cars, the dashboards, the accessories that are placed into the cars. And they have offered their employees a third of their previous salary. And you take it or leave it, or we're simply going to go bankrupt and move to China. We can no longer compete here. And the unions don't know what to do. I mean, if you go out on strike, they just pick up and move to China. Are you prepared to take a third of what you're making? And I believe that when any industry that is in a situation where the employer can move to China and hire people over there at 50 cents an hour, rather than paying them, $68 an hour with benefits here, where do you think the companies, the corporations are going to move to? Melody, would you like...
It's all done by design.
Yes,
it is. The unions can accept their offer. But you know what? They'll turn it down. And, guess who gets to pay for it? Us taxpayers. Because then their pensions and everything will go on to the back of the government. And we get to pay for it. And then they get out of their debt. And they get to move over to China.
But of course, the employees only get 30 or 40 cents on the dollar. That's the thing. And the people who have been planning on these nice pensions to retire on are going to find that they're going to get very little. That's the tragedy.
It is a tragedy. And people need to take control of your finances and take a look at your assets and hedge what you have. And a perfect example is when we had the dot-com bubble. If every one of those people who lost 50 to 70% of their funds in the dot-com, If they had offset and hedged their investments with gold, guess what? They would be ahead of the game today.
At least they've put part of it into that. Well, why don't you get your telephone number and your website out, Melody?
My phone number is 1-800-375-4188.
All right, again, 800-375-4188. And you have a website?
Yes, I do. It is Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Everything spelled out, including and, Discount Gold and Silver Trading .net.
All right, that's discountgoldandsilvertrading.net, and Melody comes with very good recommendations from people that I have dealt with in the past. Well, what sort of coins should people be getting at the present time? I mean, should they be getting, there are a lot of collectibles out there that, you know, come in beautiful little boxes, you know, and of course that they were told that, oh, if you buy these, why, the government isn't going to confiscate them if they confiscate gold, and sort of playing on people's fears. What do you think of those?
Well, I believe, you know, that's one of the most common debates when you purchase gold is whether you should purchase bullion, foreign, or numismatics. I believe you need to have both. You need to offset one with the other. The numismatic coins, and I'm not talking about the rare coins, the one coin that'll purchase, that'll cost $5,000. I'm talking low-grade investment coins at a reasonable cost.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment.
All right.
Melody Cedarstrom, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess is Melody Cedarstorm. And go ahead, Melody. You were telling us what your thoughts were. I do think that people should be diversified in what they get.
Yes, I do. I believe they need to have gold and silver, but mainly tonight we're talking about gold. And you do need to have be diversified between bullion and numismatic. The numismatic coins will provide a larger return in a bull market. And again, I'm not talking about the real rare coins or key dates. I'm talking about investment-grade coins at a reasonable cost. Of course, when someone is charging 40, 50, and 60% commission, that kind of eliminates your ability for a return at a, you know, when gold is rising. But keeping with your common year date coin in the lower mint states provides stability, and it creates a foundation in your portfolio, and I believe in creating a foundation. Then you can add. Then you can speculate. Then you can diversify in a little more. I believe gold bullion coins are great for emergencies. Like if you have something, you need to cash something in, they're great for emergency because gold is cash. And those are the main differences between the gold bullion and the numismatic. Foreign gold is nothing more than alternative to bullion. It's an alternative to bullion. One of the major myths out there is because a lot of these foreign coins are dated prior to 1933. That means absolutely nothing. They sell back usually below melt value. Your British sovereigns, your Swiss francs, your ducats, whatever, your foreign gold will sell back below melt value. In 1984, the Treasury and the IRS got together and they defined what a collectible coin is. A collectible coin is something that is rare and unusual and has a premium of 15%. Now, it's not the exact wording, but that's what it says. It has a premium. It has to have a premium of 15%.
But, of course, if they want to, they can collect everything, can't they?
Well, let me ask you something. Why, in 1933, when they confiscated gold, why did they eliminate the collectible coins?
Because they didn't want anybody to have any means of protecting their wealth. Hey, we're out of time. Melody, thank you so much.
It's because they owned them, and they own them today.
Okay. Okay, we're out of time, but thank you so very much for being with us. And one more time, your telephone number.
1-800-375-4188.
And again, your website?
DiscountGoldandSilverTrading.net. And I didn't even get to give my special tonight, Dr. Stan.
Oh, and my goodness, we're out of time, but we'll get that when we have you on again, I think, next week.
All righty, sir.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest has been Melody Cedarstorm. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I certainly want to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you agree with what we're doing, we're trying to educate people about preparation, about the very difficult times that lie ahead. We do hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. We put together a DVD. It's called The Coming Financial Crisis. I think it gives you excellent information. And then we have a little booklet, basically, I think it's four or five of my newsletters, going into the history of money. And I think it's important that you understand not only the background of the various financial increments that are out there, but you understand there's a spiritual component to everything that goes on, and there certainly is a spiritual component to what's happening as far as the currency is concerned. This whole idea of a fiat money system and getting interest for bank loans can be traced back to a man named Francis Bacon. Now, those of you who have listened to our programs very long know that Francis Bacon was a pivotal individual as far as this whole world occult movement was concerned. He was a Rosicrucian. He lived at the time that the King James lived. He died, I think, at about 1626, 1628. But it was Francis Bacon who was advocating that they allow an interest that get interest on bank deposits. Now that certainly had been outlawed in the Bible. Today, interest paying of interest on borrowed money is outlawed by the Muslim faith. But Francis Bacon, who was one of the leaders of the world occult movement, brought banking, modern day banking, into Western civilization. And, of course, after Francis Bacon advocated, the Catholic Church accepted it. Prior to that time, the Catholic Church frowned on interest, and everything that's happened since then has evolved banking. And 1694 was one of the most important dates in the history of the world, because that's when the Bank of England was established, which created a situation that gave England the ability to create money out of nothing and build a mighty navy, so one day at one time. Why Great Britain ruled the waves, controlled the oceans of the world. And it was all done with a fiat money system. Well, anyway, of course, we cover that in my pamphlet called The History of Money, and if you're interested in the history of money and or the coming financial crisis, the telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we do hope, of course, that many of you will, of course, go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. Now, you can listen to our programs there 5 hours a day, directly or indirectly. We're on the American Freedom Network first thing in the morning. And then we do the Genesis Network from 3 to 4 Pacific time. And then Radio Liberty and Genesis from 4 to 5, our programs in the evening. But the programs are archived. We do hope that you go there, that you pull down the programs, that you listen to them, and then you'll help us get the truth out across America. For indeed, we truly are involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. And I really do fear that very soon the four horsemen of the apocalypse will be released upon the world in which we live. So we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be back here in just a few minutes with the second hour of Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have this on the line from Southern California, an orthopedic surgeon, practicing orthopedic surgeon we've known for many years, but he also is an expert on the church growth movement, the most amazing phenomenon that is sweeping the world today. And not just here in the United States, but this movement is in Africa, it's in Europe. It is certainly having a profound impact. And it is an effort to change the very structure of the Protestant church. It is built upon a management technique put forward by a man named Peter Drucker, who is he's dedicated to the transformation of society. And he transformed the corporate structure and government structure and educational structure. And now, of course, with the help of Rick Warren, by Dr. Drucker, Peter Drucker is actually changing the structure of our churches. And it's a matter of bringing the Christian under control and getting him to work for the common goal. Reformation of society, of building peace throughout the world, but not built upon God's message of peace, but built upon Rick Warren's message of peace. And Rick Warren has been picked by Time magazine as the leader of the Christian community. His book was published by Rupert Murdoch, one of the big five corporations that control the mass media. Do we really want Time magazine picking our Christian leader? Well, with that as a background, Dr. Robert Klenk, Bob, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's a blessing.
Well, tell us about what your take is. Certainly, we've talked many times in the past about the church growth movement and its profound impact on our churches. Why don't you pick up the story there, what's happening, what's new, and don't be afraid to go over what's happened in the past, because many of our listeners don't understand the background of the church growth movement.
Certainly. Yeah, the church growth movement, as you were saying, is largely started with Peter Drucker and the total quality management type of philosophy. It's a type of groupthink philosophy, and that's what is infiltrating the church, is a whole groupthink mindset. And so, and in the more recent, you're asking what's happened recently, is the whole issue with this Ashley Smith, the woman that was held hostage by this gentleman at Brian Nichols that killed four people in the Atlanta courthouse, and then she was held hostage, and then she shared the purpose-driven life book with him, and supposedly he was converted, and that's what caused him to let her go, and supposedly God was in this whole thing. And more recently, she has published a book called Unlikely Angel, in which she discloses that she actually gave this man some methamphetamine that she happened to have around the house because she had used it the day before. And then in order to do damage control, Rick Warren and Ashley Smith have been going on a tour around the country and various shows promoting both of their books and insisting that God was in this whole thing.
We'll be back in just a moment here with Bob Klenk, talking about the church growth movement, and of course, this is having a profound impact on every aspect of Christendom throughout the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this evening, Dr. Robert Klink, and talking really about this episode with the woman, of course, had been kidnapped by this violent felon who had actually already killed two or three people, and, of course, when he went to her home, why she gave him amphetamines, and, of course, she had used them, and he used them, and it was because of that, and then she read to him from the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, and supposedly he had a miraculous religious conversion. Was he really converted to Christianity at this point?
Actually, no, he wasn't. And we can go into some of that as to why. Because when you are involved with the church growth movement in this program, you aren't taught the proper gospel of Christ. And so as a result of that, you don't share the proper gospel of Christ. And so she didn't share with him the gospel, which the gospel is, number one, we are completely depraved individuals. We are sinners, born as sinners. We are, our hearts are desperately wicked. The Bible says that we can't even understand the depths of our own depravity. And we are in need of a Savior. The Bible also talks about how sin can only be taken away by the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system was set up, but that was just as a forerunner and pointing to the Savior, which was God in human form, who would come to the earth to die and have a perfect, sinless sacrifice that would blot out the sins of those who would believe on the Savior and trust in Him and repent and have a contrite and brokenheartedness before Him, knowing how much He has done for them, and then He would convert those people. He would atone their sin. He would give them His righteousness, because they cannot make it to heaven on their own righteousness.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But contingent upon that promise of everlasting life was believing in Jesus Christ, that He was God come to earth to pay the price for our sins. That's the important thing. And if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't believe that He was God, that He came here for our sins, then, of course, there is no basis for Christianity, and there's no basis for forgiveness, and there's no transformation of the life of the individual.
Correct, correct. And the message that she gave this guy...
Hold right there just a moment, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just saying that the base of Christianity is the belief that we are depraved sinners, that man is basically depraved, and the only hope he has of salvation is accepting the free gift of salvation that's offered by our Lord Jesus Christ, that the promise of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But, of course, the everlasting life did not come to everybody. It only came to those who really believed in Him. And that was, of course, it was the belief in the divinity of Jesus Christ that offered the promise of eternal salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, but if you don't believe that we're sinners, if you don't believe that we need a Savior, if your life is not transformed by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, why, you're really not a Christian. And that's what it's really all about. You have to accept that He was born of a virgin, that He was crucified, that He did die, and that He was resurrected, and that there are miraculous things that really happen in the world. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you can't be a Christian, because that is the very fundamental of the Christian faith. But these are not the things that were being preached to this renegade, this felon, this escaped felon, was it?
No, and basically what she told him was that God loves you, and God has a purpose for your life, and perhaps your purpose is to go to jail and to tell the other inmates that God has a purpose for their life. And so she didn't tell him that, she didn't make him aware of his sin, which I'm sure she probably thought would be dangerous to do so. But she also, didn't tell him that he actually had to be, repentant and be converted in order to you know, in order to be saved. And so they're spinning this, trying to say that a wonderful redemption has occurred. In fact, Rick Warren on Larry King Live, October 5th, said, he said, Larry King asked him, why are so many of your Christian brethren angry at her now? And he said, well, I don't know. I don't think they are. He says, I've read a lot of the reports. The people who have belittled this are those who, A, haven't read the book and read the whole story. He said, Larry, this is a story of two redemptions. It's Ashley's redemption and it's Brian's redemption. And the first came out was, here's this brave heroine who helped out this guy. Now turn his life around enough to at least not kill anymore. She stopped the killing, and for that, that's terrific. But we go back to the story that she was talking about earlier where she said, you know, I made this decision to say, well, I got ICE, and immediately I regretted it. I mean, instantly regretted it, and then kind of thought, okay, I did something dumb. And she told him, look, I'm not going to take the drugs. Isn't that right? And she says, that's right. Rick Warren says, you said, okay, I'm not going to take them. You can do it, but it's not bad. And you told him even actually why. And then God said to her, okay, you did. You stopped the negative. Now do something positive. So they're talking about redemption here and stopping the negative and starting the positive has absolutely nothing to do with redemption, repentance of sin, you know, turning back to Christ and all of that. And in fact, a recent news report has it that this Brian Nichols has converted to Islam in jail.
And so that is the end result, of course, of this experience and this exposure to the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, which transformed him, and it did. But if you read the book, it tells you, and Rick Warren says, the last thing most Christians need is another Bible study. What they really need to do is begin applying, you know, and begin working in this towards this movement, towards this goal that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the last thing we need is another Bible study. I think the primary thing we need is a Bible study. And this is what should be preached in our churches rather than the feel-good type of religion we're getting there. You know, and the entertainment and the videos and the acting and the script and the skits we have. What we really need, of course, to emphasize the Word of God, because it's through the Word of God that man's heart is changed, not by entertaining them, but the words of the Holy Scripture. But that Rick Warren doesn't feel that way. And actually, you can go to his Purpose-Driven Life, a book, and Barrett Schoes gave me quotation the other day. The exact quotation was, the last thing we need is another Bible study. What we've really got to do is get in and begin working towards these goals. Words to that effect. Maybe somebody can find that quotation and get it for us. But
yes, it's in The Purpose-Driven Life,
it's right.
And that's the exact quotation, is that the last thing most Christians need today is another Bible study, because we have far too much book knowledge, and what we need to do is start applying it, which is a denial of the Scriptures themselves. The Scriptures say the Word of God is quick, which means alive. The Word of God is alive. It said it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting asunder the bone from the marrow. I mean, it divides the right from the wrong. It divides the sin from the pure. It divides the sinner from the saint. I mean, the Word of God is powerful and alive. And so for a pastor to make a comment and state in a book that it sold 25 million copies that the last thing most Christians need today is another Bible study is a complete denial of the Scriptures and of the sufficiency of the Scriptures. The fact that the Word of God is what sustains us, it is the Word of God which, as you said, causes us to be converted, causes us to achieve repentance. When we realize in the eyes of an all-seeing, almighty God who's everywhere and knows every thought and intention of our heart, we come to the realization that we must repent. And if you don't teach the people this, and you just tell them God has a purpose for your life, then you have actually displaced the Word of God and have become an enemy of the Word of God. And the report said originally that she read from the Bible and from The Purpose-Driven Life, However, then the later reports, they never mentioned the Bible anymore, and they only mentioned that she read from the Purpose-Driven Life. And then again, there's no fruit of that reading. Again, when the man converts to Islam, obviously this Purpose-Driven Life did not lead him in the right direction.
And faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. I think that's so important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. And that's what we need, is to hear the Word of God, not the writings of Rick Warren.
Yes.
And if they were, of course, turning us towards the Word of God, but they're really not. They're confusing us with multiple Bible translations. And, you know, if you've got 6 or 7 Bible translations, that's confusing. But he has about 15 Bible translations. He uses the Eugene Peterson's The Message, which is not a Bible translation at all, and yet he puts so much emphasis on that. And if you've read some of the books we have, written by people who've studied the New Age, they will point out that The Message, which is a paraphrase of the Bible, which is emphasized in the Purpose-Driven Life book, actually contains all sorts of New Age and occult symbology and wording, and actually takes words right out of the very New Age concepts and puts them in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, you're not hearing the Word of God, you're hearing New Age philosophy and New Age religion expressed in Christian churches. And this is rather frightening, because I believe there's an effort to undermine the very fundamental base of Christianity, and I think they're doing a pretty good job of it by incorporating the occult into our churches. And as we know, the occult forces have infiltrated the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and the Jewish Church and their seminaries, and then we see this being brought in, you know, by bringing in what I really believe are occult translations of the Bible. Why would they be doing things like that? Don't they realize that this could very well end up destroying people's faith? And we saw what it did to this young man who converted to Islam after this experience.
Right. Well, and there's been numerous ties of Rick Warren with the New Age. He has teamed up with Ken Blanchard to help promote this peace plan that you're talking about, this whole global idea, this five-point peace plan that Rick Warren wants to do. He wants to eliminate spiritual lostness, which I would argue that he is spiritually lost based on how he misinterprets and misquotes the scripture and applies it incorrectly on purpose, if you want to use that term, and how they want to infiltrate the education systems of other countries and all of these things with this whole peace program. Ken Blanchard is very tied very tightly to the New Age, and if you look at the research on the internet from Lighthouse Trails Publishing, they have gone into great depths of detail of Ken Blanchard's writings. He's written in a book called, I think it's The Buddha at Work, and all of these different things. Now, Rick Warren, in an email to Lighthouse Trails Publishing, said that Ken Blanchard is a new Christian, although I've seen things written that where Ken Blanchard claims to be a Christian for many years. But anyway, Rick Warren says, well, he's a new Christian. He can't be held accountable for any of the previous New Age things that he was tied with, and that I am totally against anything that is New Age. Now, that being said, Rick Warren then went on the Oprah Winfrey show with this Ashley Smith in their, again, promoting both of their books. And, Oprah's the New Age queen.
And really, I think that we have to understand these occult forces are working within Christendom today.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simply by accident that Rick Warren was invited to address the Council on Foreign Relations, and recently has given a talk before the Council on Foreign Relations, which has its foundation in the occult. And that's how you can get the reference to that on Merit Chose's website. Crossroad.to, it's well worthwhile. And then he's invited to speak before a group of people dedicated to the United Nations. Why would he be talking to a group of people who are dedicated to bringing about a world government which is supported by every Luciferian in the United States? We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course we're talking about the United Nations. The whole idea of a world government has always been the idea of the Luciferian organizations in the United States, whether it be the Rosicrucians, whether it be the Masons, whether it be the Theosophists, whether it would be the Bilderbergers or the Council on Foreign Relations or the Club of Rome or the Trilateral Commission. All of these have their basis in the occult, and all of them are dedicated to the establishment of a ruling class and a one world order. And now there's some people, I'm sure, in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission, and certainly many of the organizations who do not really understand the spiritual component of these movements, and of course the ultimate goal of establishing a one world government that will be ruled by the Antichrist. But because this has been the objective of the mystery religions for over 5,000 years. But the leaders of these groups do. And we only need to go to people, the writings say of Manly P. Hall, the leading Masonic philosopher of all time. And in his book, The Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, he will tell us that Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer society made up of good people who are interested in doing good things, but a inner society, a hidden society, where, of course, people are dedicated to the service, whose members are dedicated to the service of the Ancorum and the Ancanorum. The Ancorum and Ancanorum, and of course Ancorum is the great secret, and the Ancanorum is the secret of secrets. And what is that secret? The secret, of course, is that Lucifer is God. There are two gods. There's the God of the Bible, and he's the bad guy, and then there's Lucifer, who gives us total freedom. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, of course you don't want to get involved with that philosophy, because it leads to moral anarchy, and it, of course, leads to the loss of salvation. But there really are people in the world who feel that way. They push the United Nations, so we have to ask why they would invite Rick Warren to come to speak to one of their luncheons, and why he would appear before the Council on Foreign Relations, and why he would have joined together with Ken Blanchard, with a long history of the being involved in the New Age, in the occult, working together towards the Rick Warren peace plan. Pick up that story up there, Bob.
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously, yes. The reason that that Rick Warren would be invited to these things is because he is watering down Christianity, and one of the goals with the one world government is a one world religious system. And so, if you can eliminate all of the religions which are divisive, and you can soften them to the point where they get along with everybody else, and they no longer have any differences, then you can actually achieve this goal of the one world government and the one world religion. And that's exactly what this church growth movement does. It, through the consensus process, which is the mixing together of people with differing ideas, and you then facilitate the meetings, and in these facilitated meetings, the facilitator manipulates the people so that they will all get along, and they will put aside their differences to achieve a relationship with each other. And so what we're seeing on the world scene is the countries right now fighting against radical Islam, because radical Islam is one of the religions that refuses to budge and will not get along.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with Dr. Bob Klenk, and we're simply talking about the church growth movement. And this really is having a profound impact on every aspect of our lives. And, of course, I really think that people are going to have to understand that Christianity appears to be changing. Of course, it's not really changing, but there are efforts of working within our church today to change everything, to change the music, to change the message, to change the way that sermons are preached so they will be more entertaining and so that nobody will be offended.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to use these small Bible studies, these small groups, but they're really not Bible studies. They're really methods of bringing people under the control bringing them under the control of the church. And if you were in a church growth church, why, you are literally required to sign a contract and then to enter these programs, and they're not to teach you the word of the Lord. That it changed your perspective of the world. Pick the story up there, Bob.
Right. And so basically there's three main religions in the world that are contrary to the global goal of a one-world religion. And so that's radical Islam, that's Orthodox Judaism, and that's fundamental Christianity. And so right now the world is dealing with force against radical Islam and is celebrating those Islamics and Muslims who are more tolerant of the other religions. And similarly, Orthodox Judaism is being attacked in Israel and will continue to do so. And again, they will celebrate the less Orthodox Jews who are willing to go ahead and give up land for peace and give up and coexist. And then similarly, fundamental Christianity is being attacked in the press, and people like Rick Warren are being lifted up in the press because their form of Christianity is not contrary to the world. It goes along with the world. And in fact, I mean, even in this thing, this is what Rick says when Larry King Live asks him, do you believe God was in the room with Ashley? And he says, without a doubt. And the cool thing about it, I love this story and the power. It's even more powerful that this has come out that she was an addict. It's even more a story of redemption because it says several things. First, God used imperfect people. She went out to get cigarettes. Okay. She had ice, that's methamphetamine, the night before. Okay. But she was available. Okay, so this is the new message of Christianity, is that as long as you claim the name of Christ, it doesn't matter how you live, you can still be available for God's work. But 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and vessels of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee youthful lusts, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, so the Word of God talks about sanctification. In other words, once you're a Christian, you now are a new creature and a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. And so we're now to set aside those things of the world. She says that she was a Christian since the age of 7, and she's had drug addiction problems for years and years and years, and she was still actively using drugs right up until the night before this incident. And Rick Warren saying, well, she was available for God's use. God demands much more of that from those who call him as their Savior. And so he demands that, you know, that we try to live as best we can, a purified life. And if our life hasn't changed and there's no fruit of it changing, then there's no evidence that God was in that at all.
Well, I think even more pointed is that the man that she ministered to and brought to the Lord has now come to embrace Islam, which I believe is a satanic religion. So look at the end result of what she's done. I mean, anybody who's ever studied Islam realizes that Muhammad was demon-possessed. In fact, he feared he was demon-possessed. We carry a wonderful book called The Prophet of Doom, written by Craig Wynn. It's such a good book. He's been threatened to the point by the Muslims right here in the United States that he will no longer do radio programs. They've threatened his life. Why? Because he wrote a book. And he simply quoted from the Sharia and the Hadith and from the Quran and pointed out that this is a satanic religion. And, of course, what was the end result of reading this book? And, of course, as Rick Warren says, doing the Word of God, well, what God were they serving? Mm-hmm. This man has come to embrace Islam. We'll be back here in just a few moments. And we have to realize that Christianity is under attack today. And our leaders have been actually picked by Time magazine. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. Robert Klink. As we were saying, you know, Time magazine hates Christianity. If you read the articles they have there, consistently they undermine the faith of the majority of the people in this country. The purpose of Time magazine is not to report the news, it's to influence our attitudes. And certainly, they are always doing everything they can to undermine it, and yet they have picked for the leader of the Christian movement in America none other than Rick Warren. Do we really want the man that Rick Warren, pardon me, that Time magazine picked, you know, as our leader, to really be our leader? Well, on that thought, go ahead, Bob, because certainly you were talking about the importance of our personal relationship with the Lord, and you're not going to get it by, of course, using methamphetamine and then reading to a man, and the fruit of your labor is he becomes a Muslim. How could they possibly be saying that this was an effective thing that was accomplished?
Well, because Rick Warren has got another agenda, and the agenda is the group think. And so what the take-home message in all of this is actually they kind of de-emphasize the fact that Mr. Nichols is an Islamic, and they are emphasizing that Ashley has not used drugs ever since this episode, and that that's really the redemptive nature of this whole event. And the way that they're pushing, what they are pushing is this, is the accountability group. And so, for instance, here, Rick Warren says to Larry King, the point that I would say is that at the point where she said no, in the book she talks about, I felt free for the first time, where Brian Nichols said he was going to take the drugs, and she said no. She felt free for the first time. Like she had been, I know lots of people who are believers who are relapsed. Okay, you know, they're good people, they just relapsed, okay? So there's a lot of, again, Rick Warren's telling you that, you know, as a believer, you can relapse and you can relapse and you can relapse, but you're still a believer. And he says, and they don't have the accountability of a group. I don't think you can get off an addiction on your own. I really don't. I think you need other people, like a Celebrate Recovery, which is Rick Warren's 12-step addiction rehabilitation program, or AA or something. Some kind of a group that gives you tough love and gives you accountability, and she didn't have that at that time, so she's relapsing. See, so she hasn't relapsed now since. Of course, it's only been a month and a half or something, and I hope and pray that she doesn't relapse as far as her drug use is concerned. But the issue that Rick Warren is really pushing is the accountability group.
Hold that thought right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and it would be nice if we didn't have to speak out on these issues. If everybody could just get along together. The problem is Christianity is under attack today. We're told in Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that's Thessalonians 2, verse 3, that there will be a great falling away of the faith before the man of sin is revealed. In other words, before the Antichrist will come, there's going to be a great falling away within the church. Now, in many parts of the world, Christianity is growing. You'd be amazed to know what's going on in India and in China. But here in the United States, why the church no longer talks about hell? I heard one of the certainly the leading ministers in the United States giving a talk where he said, well, you know, we used to talk about hell and damnation. We don't talk about that anymore. Because it doesn't sell well. It doesn't sell well. Well, you know, this is one of the things that we're told in the Bible. Jesus Christ talked a lot more about hell than he did about salvation. And it was this idea that there was punishment for sin, and those people who did not claim the redemption and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ were going to spend eternity in hell. And, of course, one of the things that brought the great awakening back in 1730 and transformed America and laid the way for the establishment of our Revolutionary War and then the establishment of the United States was a sermon that was given by Jonathan Edwards entitled A Sinner in the Hands of Angry God, and he talked about hell, and John Wesley, who was with him, talked about hell, and the other ministers that were there talked about hell, and they put the fear of God into people. And today there is no fear of God. There's only to believe that God is all love, and God loves everybody. And it doesn't matter how bad or wicked they are, God loves them, and God loves those who love Him. And, of course, everybody has the opportunity to change and to accept the gift of salvation. But there are a lot of people out there who talk a lot about the Lord, but they don't really believe in Him. And there's no personal relationship there. It's all talk. And this is really what bothers me so much, is we've gotten away from the transforming message of the gospel towards the message that comes from Eugene Peterson's message, which has all sorts of New Age and occult terminology in it. Why have we brought that into the church, and why is Rick Warren pushing that, and why is he being invited to talk to the Council on Foreign Relations, and why is he being asked to address the United Nations, and what is his world peace plan really all about?
Yes. Well, again, you know, this whole idea that you need an accountability group, that you have to do it in a group. You cannot do it by yourself. Again, a complete denial of the scriptures. I mean, 2 Timothy 2:26 says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. And, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the wicked one. So, you know, you, with the power of God, I mean, the book tells you that He will give you power, that dunamis, the Greek word for the power, that dynamo inside of you. I mean, He will give you a tremendous amount of power, God's power. It's not your own power. You cannot beat these things on your own. I would agree with that part. But then Rick Warren twists it. And you can't do it on your own. You need God and His power. Rick Warren twists it that you need human help and human power to get over these things. And it shifts. The accountability group shifts your whole focus away from the fact that you are ever in the presence of an almighty God who sees you and knows every thought and every deed that you do. When you're in an accountability group situation and you're starting to enter into a sin, let's say drug addiction, like her situation, and she's thinking about it, and then if she does it, the thought that's going through her mind is, what am I going to tell my Celebrate Recovery group next Tuesday, because, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to tell them that I relapsed, and they're going to be all mad at me. And she, it's now shifted, because her fear is what the group will think. Her fear is now the fear of man, which the Bible says is a snare, as opposed to the fear of God. You know, as you're thinking about, should I do this, you must have the realization you are in the presence of God, and God is right there looking at you. He knows it instantly what you're doing, and you need to be fearful of Him rather than fearful of what the group will think. And so it's a complete shift. Fenelon, who was the Archbishop of Cambridge, France, and advisor in the court of Louis XIV back in the 17th century, said it very well. He said, you must be willing to yield to the will of God whenever He decides to remove from you all of the props on which you have leaned. Sometimes you must give up even your most spiritual friends if they are props. And why does He take human help away except to supply you of Himself and purify you by the painful lesson? Sometimes you must give up even your most spiritual friends if they are props. So he just said it so beautifully. Why would God take this away from you and put you in this painful lesson? Because it's to draw you closer to Him. And the whole goal that Rick Warren is doing is he's trying to subtly draw you away from the Savior and towards the group and towards humanity and saving the world and all of these situations that are contrary to God's will.
And, of course, you're going to save the world. You're not necessarily going to bring them the Word of God, but you're going to transform their lives. But you're not going to transform it with the Word of God, but making their life better. There's going to be the World Peace Project, as if somehow man is going to bring peace to the world.
Which brings me to mind myself, the scripture, what if a man gain the whole world but lose his own soul? And that's really what this whole humanistic occultist movement that you're talking about is really what's happening. Those people have the goal of gaining the whole world, and unfortunately, in doing so, they're losing their own soul.
Well, I certainly agree with you, Bob, but the thing that really bothers me is that this movement is not only in the United States, it's in Africa, it's in Europe, it's really permeating every aspect of Christendom throughout the world today, and it's undermining the basic preaching of the gospel, and we're substituting the preaching of the gospel for the preaching, of course, the purpose-driven life, mm-hmm. the purpose-driven church. The book's written by Rick Warren. He becomes the central figure rather than Jesus Christ.
And he's bragging that his book is now in 56 languages. So it is truly going worldwide, absolutely.
And the question is, who publishes the book? Why, of course, Zondervan. Who is Zondervan? Why, it's Rupert Murdoch. And what does Rupert Murdoch believe? Well, nobody's ever accused him of being an evangelical Christian, that's for certain.
He
is part of this whole world, in my estimation, a cult establishment, dedicated to the New World Order and the New World Religion, fabulously wealthy. And where does his wealth come from? Well, I believe the dark side rewards those who do their work.
Well, and I think that's exactly what we're seeing here as well. Is that we're seeing the dark side lifting up Rick Warren. You know, suddenly he's got a book that sold 25 million copies, and then now he's using this latest situation. And it's a very interesting thing because he's talking about how important it is for an addict to get into one of his Celebrate Recovery programs. However, in Ashley Smith's case, she's too busy on her book tour to go into this Celebrate Recovery program. So in other words, Rick Warren isn't as concerned about her and her well-being with respect to her drug abuse as he is concerned about striking while the iron is hot and getting the books sold and enjoying all the media attention. So I think that's a very interesting thing that comes out in that interview with Larry King Live, is that she just doesn't have time while she's touring with Rick Warren, and he is actually the one who got her an agent to get her book sold.
The thing that bothers me is the gentleman now who's in prison, who's converted to the Islamic faith, I would think that there should be a conscious effort to bring him to Christianity, because the Islamic faith, of course, will bring him nothing but sorrow and of course, increasing frustration. Because it's not a really fulfilling religion in many respects. We've had opportunities to interview Muslims, and of course, they cannot be really forthright in what they say because they realize that this is a religion that deprecates women. This is a religion that justifies violence. This is a religion, of course, that requires, you know, that the people surrender. That's what Islam means, is surrender, but it's surrender to the dictates of the Prophet, who himself, by his own admission, feared that he was demonically possessed.
Hmm. Yeah, that is the tragedy. Admittedly, Rick Warren says that he's tried to contact the man in jail and talk to him, and his attorney won't allow him to talk to anybody. So, unfortunately, as you know and I know, that Rick Warren wouldn't truly lead him to Christianity the way the Bible describes it. Again, he would lead him to a Christianity, and I found a quote for you, by the way, on page 231 of Purpose Driven Life. The last thing many believers need today is to go to another Bible study. They already know far more than they are putting into practice. What they need are serving experiences in which they can exercise their spiritual muscles.
And what sort of serving is he talking about?
World service.
Okay,
back into the United Nations agenda, which is world service, and that's the other aspect of the church growth movement, is the whole spiritual gifts assessment that they have the people go into. And again, the pastor, his role has changed. He's no longer preaching sermons, and Rick Warren publishes and sells sermons on his website so that the pastors don't have to prepare their own messages. Rick Warren prepares the messages for them. And then the pastor now becomes the CEO of the church. As the CEO, he gives spiritual gifts assessments, so-called, and he asks people what their talents are and, you know, what skills do you have? What type of job do you do? What are you able to do with your hands? How can you possibly serve us? And once they then determine these spiritual gifts assessments, the pastor is the CEO. That's his job now, is to convince these people of where they ought to be serving. Again, supposedly serving the church, but actually they're just serving the world. And then they have these linking teams, they call them, where they are linking the churches for world service. And so the volunteer linking teams are in partnership with again, more globalist groups like World Vision, etc., and Habitat for Humanity.
Again, but these are humanist organizations. Certainly Habitat for Humanity does a lot of good, but it's basically a humanist organization.
Yes, yes. And so the Christians are being put into service not to serve the body of Christ, as the Bible says, but they are serving the world, again, in this whole humanistic, socialistic, global program. And that's part of the whole peace plan. And so that's the type of service. And so he's telling you, don't study your Bible, because if you study your Bible, you're going to see that your serving is actually supposed to be serving the body of Christ and building up and edifying the body of Christ and things like that. And, you know, and certainly it talks about, the Bible talks about feeding the poor and the motherless and things like that, and those are noble things. But you don't do them under the framework of the United Nations non-governmental organization framework and for world service. So
you really would do those as part of a mission field, of helping the missionaries to go out and do those things as an example, of course, of personal sacrifice in service of our Lord. But, you know, when you, of course, support the United Nations and these humanistic groups, why, it is their message which is being preached, not the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the example of the missionary who gives their life in the service of our Lord.
Right, and that's the difference, because, you know, and they keep these organizations, like the Billy Graham organization or Samaritan First, they say that they're giving the gospel, but they don't. They water down the gospel, or they don't give it at all. And they say the reason for that is because the United Nations won't allow us access to those countries if we are strongly proclaiming the Word of God. And so we can't strongly proclaim the Word of God. And so now all you become is a socialist organization, which is basically taking funds and resources and abilities from the United States and giving it to the third world countries. But the gospel of Christ isn't going along with that. It's only the resources and the work that's going there, but the gospel isn't being spread to those nations.
Well, I thought that the Samaritan's Purse was doing a pretty good job. Do you have different information? I thought that they were preaching the gospel. They're not?
No, again, in order to gain the access to the countries, then their message has to be very limited, very limited. And then also Franklin Graham has supported Rick Warren's book. He endorsed Purpose-Driven Life. He's been involved with consensus meetings with Muslim and Buddhist leaders and tied in with the whole global religious initiative as well.
Well, of course, there is this idea of not only creating a one-world government, but the idea of creating a one-world religion where all people who, mean well and, of course, want to help the world will just get together and use their religions, the common goals of those religions, towards specific good purposes.
Correct. Correct. And
so you really would like to water all the religions down, so there really would be nothing that would really keep them all from working for the common good. And that is the frightening thing, because some of our Christian leaders seem to be quite willing to go along with that so that nobody will be offended, as if somehow the Word of God is offensive.
Well, it is offensive. The Bible talks about the Word of God, you know, being an offense, the offense of the cross. And so when properly preached, again, as a two-edged sword, and it's cutting asunder, you know, wheat from chaff, I mean, it's very offensive to those who don't embrace it. And it's unfortunate that the pastors nowadays are fearful. Again, they're more fearful of men. They're just afraid of how men are going to perceive them, and gee, they might think I'm an extremist. And so they're fearful, and they're actually ashamed of the gospel.
Well, this is a tragic situation. Of course, we're told that, before the man of sin is exposed, there will be a great falling away. Is that really what we're seeing in the world today? Is there a falling away from the Word of God? Are they still preaching the tradition, a fear of God in our church? Or have they changed the very nature of God to a God who loves everybody, doesn't matter how bad they are, and everybody's going to go to heaven? Well, we'll be back here in just a minute to wrap up this evening's program with Bob Crank, because I don't think everybody is going to go to heaven. Not if the scriptures are true. Well, Bob, we've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up this evening's program. What are your thoughts, parting thoughts for our listeners?
Yes, well, I mean, the first thing that people have to be concerned about, or should at least cause you to raise an eyebrow, is if a form of Christianity is getting broad worldwide acceptance and attention. Again, like you're talking about, Time Magazine giving rave reviews, and you've got Larry King Live and Oprah Winfrey and all the newspapers and People Magazine, etc., are all just praising this form of Christianity, when the true form of Christianity and people who are without compromise giving out the Word of God, those people are being labeled as extremist and hateful, and oh my gosh, they're homophobic, and they are against the woman's right to choose, and all of these things, and so if a form of Christianity is gaining such broad popularity, you have to wonder, because the scriptures clearly tell us that if narrow is the way, and straight is the path, and few there be that find it, and so Christianity is always a remnant. It's not a mass broad appeal. And so when you see this mass broad appeal, you have to already start to question that. And when you then carefully look at how Rick Warren twists the scriptures when he tells you shouldn't be going to Bible studies, you look into the message and the New Age implications of that text and how he uses that so richly. He talks about, on page 58 of his book, he talks about how he twists John 3:36, and he says that he who accepts the Son gets in on everything, life abundant and eternal. Well, that sounds wonderful. That's great. But that's John 3:36a, and it's a mistranslation anyway. And it says, the true translation says, that John 3:36 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, a very, very different message, and he's misleading people. And so this isn't true Christianity. So the bottom line message always in my ministry and Pastor John Coleman's ministry, is Into the Word Ministries. Go back to the Bible.
They were out of time, Bob.
Throw out all the other so-called Christian books, throw them away, and go back to the Word of God.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, I guess this evening has been Dr. Bob Klink, and he's an orthopedic surgeon, but he, of course, has studied the Bible and refers to Dr. John Coleman's ministry, which is the emphasis, get back to the Bible. What does the Bible say? Not what ministers say. What does the Word of God say? And that, of course, what we should be spending our time on. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, contrary to what it says on page 236 of the Purpose-Driven Life, we do need more Bible studies. We need to be totally submerged in the Word of God, because that must be our guide for our lives. Bob Klink, thank you so very much for being with us. As always,
thank
it's a great time to have you.
It's been a really blessing, and it's great to be with you, Dr. Stan.
We'll look forward to having you on again real soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
All right. Well, Bob Klenk is a fellow orthopedic surgeon practicing at the present time, sort of a camaraderie between orthopedists. It's a wonderful, wonderful specialty, a wonderful opportunity to help people. And he's very highly trained and does a lot of very sophisticated procedures far in advance of what many doctors are doing today. Under any circumstances, we're not talking about his orthopedic practice. We're talking about a message that he has, and he goes all over the country trying to sound a warning and telling people that there's a conscious effort to change the music and the message of the church. And then, of course, if you'd like to know more about what's going on there, why, of course, we have several four-tape sets put together with messages from Dr. Klenk and others trying to explain the church growth movement. And I hope many of you will go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, where we, of course, have books and where we have four-tape sets talking about what is happening to Christian music. Because they've changed Christian music as well. And we are bringing the music of the world into our churches. If you need to understand what's really going on, let me suggest you go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And you can listen to our programs there on the internet 3 hours a day. You can listen to our archive programs. You can certainly pull down our newsletters. And many of these will go into the background of what's happening in the world today. There really is an occult hierarchy. An occult hierarchy that rules the world. And we do hope that many of you will want to get their my newsletter on the occult hierarchy. You can pull it down our website. Occult hierarchy part 2 is the June 2005 newsletter. That's the June 2005 newsletter. You can get the occult hierarchy part 1. Or the Occult Hierarchy Part 2. And if you'd like to get one of those newsletters free of charge, we'd be glad to send it to you. If you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-544-8927, that's the Occult Hierarchy newsletter. You need to understand that there really are secret organizations that serve the prince of this world. They're made up of men, and we give you the references to books written by people who are part of that, who've been recruited into this movement by some of the richest people in America, and certainly the most powerful. So if you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, why, we'll make it available to you. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're having an all-day seminar here in the Monterey Bay area on the 19th of November, and we do hope that you can come. You'll have to have a reservation. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.